Hallelujah, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The last week, there's been a lot of stuff on the news. That is, that the things that we've been hearing about and listening to and keeping track of, they're coming to the surface. They're being reported. And for those of you who are into the news, you need to make sure that you make sure that you follow or watch that what you're hearing is the truth. A lot of the news stations out there are fake, and they lead you astray, and they'll keep you in bondage. I see people driving around in cars with masks on, breathing their own breath. I do not know why they do that. Are they so afraid of the coronavirus that even in their own cars, they don't trust God? It's incredible how fear can overtake a person. God doesn't want you to live in fear. And if you're a Christian and you're in fear, if you don't know what's going on, you need to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way. Because we are heading for a time where it's going to get tougher. The harbingers that we hear, the warnings that the Bible gives, doesn't give us warning that things are going to get better. They're going to get worse for the world system. But for the church of God, it's going to get better for those especially who turn to God, who have a relationship. It's a relationship that counts because that sets you free. If you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You can read the word of God as much as you want, but if you don't believe in the truth, then you're not going to be free. So it's important that you see the truth, understand the truth, and seek after truth. And what the Bible teaches us, that God is truth, and if you have a relationship with him, he's going to show you these things. Your anxiety will leave. You'll understand the situation, and you'll know that God is in control. That's how God wants us to see these things. He's in control. He knows what he allows to happen. And we better get ready for an incredible ride. I've been looking forward to this ride now for the last 35 years because I've been studying the end times. And I knew in my heart, if I'm not ready in my spirit for the end times, there's going to be anxiety. There's going to be confusion. So here's what I did. I got to know the heart of Jesus. I got to find out who my Savior is. My salvation was very costly. It was free, but very costly. And I appreciate what this God did for me. And in my appreciation, I want to have that relationship so that I can benefit from what he did for me, not only when I pass from this life, but when I'm here. And a great benefit that comes from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ personally is peace and tranquility and faith. This is what a relationship produces. You may read the letter of the word and still be in confusion. You have to mix the spirit with the word to really see what God is trying to tell us. So today I'm going to be preaching on an interesting subject. Faith produces what? It produces fruit. What kind of fruit is produced in a person? Do you have peace? Do you have joy? You can check yourself. I want to make you jealous today. Not for the sake of jealousy, but if you know that you're lacking joy and peace, I want you to be jealous and go seek after it. Like you would go seek after a higher paying job or something that you really like. Go after it with all your strength. The Bible calls it a pearl of great price. Sell everything you have, he tells you. Go get that price. Go get that pearl so that you can really benefit from it. So today I'm going to try and bring it out in a way so that you'll understand if you'll pay attention. If you can't get it right now, listen to it on YouTube. Because YouTube, you can go over and over again on it and get out what God wants you to hear. So before we get into this message, I'll ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God that has come to live within us. I pray that you will open people's hearts. You will bless them and you will anoint this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians chapter 5 in verse 1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Especially if you come out of a religious system. The Bible teaches us the yoke of bondage is this: touch not, taste not, handle not, what type of clothes to wear, but dress modestly. But don't, like, these things are worldly. They're going to pass away. This is what the Bible means by touch not, taste not, handle not. Don't get caught up in that stuff because it'll keep you from getting into the Spirit of God. Because you'll be focused on yourself, trying to better yourself. And guess what? That's a trap from Satan. If you try to better yourself in these ways, you're going to fall and you're going to fail. So he tells us, stand fast within the liberty that Christ has set us free. Stand in the knowledge that you've been free from the bondages of sin, from the bondages of religion, from the bondages that you yourself created in yourself. Get to know this Jesus and find out his heart. And then something will happen to your spirit. You will start to rejoice because faith produces something. It produces joy in a Christian. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, it emphasizes here, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so you cannot do the things that you would. If you depend on your ability to, that's the flesh. If you depend on your ability to operate in God's kingdom, you will find out that you're going to fail because it does not work. You're going to miss the mark, you're going to miss the point, and you'll bring yourself into bondage. So you have to operate in the Spirit. You got to hear the voice of God. Put the voice of God together with the Word of God, and you will find out the freedom that you're looking for. But if you're going to operate in the flesh, it's going to work against your spirit. It's going to bring you into bondage. You're going to, here's what it'll produce. It'll produce fear, it'll produce confusion, and it'll also prove defection and dissension, moving away from God. God has a word for each and every one of us. And we cannot fulfill that word and that work if we operate in the flesh. He wants to guide us by his Spirit, because so many people, so many ministers, even people, have their own little kingdom. And after a while, that kingdom becomes, you become very, very annoyed with yourself because you're not good enough. There are people who are Christians, but they're never good enough. They're always fighting with themselves. Oh, I'm not doing this right. I'm not doing that right. Leave it to Jesus. He saved you. He cleansed you. And the Bible teaches Philippians chapter 1 in verse 6, it tells us, I'm confident he is able to keep what I have committed unto him against that day. So don't worry. Don't worry about how things are going to turn out. Just follow God and be confident that you'll come to your fullest, because it's the grace of God that works in you. And he started something, he's going to finish it if you walk in the Spirit and you faint not. So this is what God is trying to teach us here. In Galatians chapter 5 in verse 18, if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you are operating in the law, you will definitely fail. You will become confused. You will, after a while, start. In the beginning, following the law seems good. It seems a good thing. But there's following the law or following a good thing can keep you from the perfect. And I'm going to be preaching on this one of these days. The good is spawned a lot of time in hell by Satan, because he wants to keep you from doing the perfect. Very interesting. You have to know that. You doing good may not be the perfect will of God, even though it's good. It'll keep you from achieving what God really wants to do. And if you're operating in the law, yes, it would be good. It'll sound good. It'll look good with the natural eye. But in reality, it's nothing but straw in the eyes of God, and it'll be burned at the judgment seat of Christ. So we have to be careful about those things. We need our faith to produce. what God wants us to produce. The gift of the Spirit, it needs to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Listen to Galatians chapter 5 in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. Very important in those days. Love, joy, and peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. Let me show you a few things here. Love. Today, there's the love gospel. We got to agree with everybody. We got to somehow love one another and be at peace with one another. Yes, the Bible teaches us as much as possible, be at peace with everybody. But if I know human beings, that's pretty well out of the question. But it tells us to love. What does love truly mean? We are here on this earth for a reason. And that is to make sure when we pass, we enter into the kingdom of God. Because after this life, there's only two places, the eternal lake of fire and the eternal dwellings of heaven. So the love that we should share is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care how much you kick me around the neck and hold me and tell me how much you love me. If you don't tell me about Jesus and his love for me and about the judgment that is to come and you know about it, then you don't really love me. This is what true love is. Telling a person there is a judgment and also a judgment seat of Christ. That's for the Christian. There is a judgment for the unbeliever. And that is a horrifying judgment. And God wants us to see the sacrifice on the cross. It cost incredibly for my salvation. It's for free, but it was not cheap. And if I tell you about that, I'm showing you true love. I love you. I spend my money to bring this message to you. That's showing love, because what I have tangibly, I use to bring the love of God to you. So if you ever try and figure out what true love is, look at your wallet. Look at what you're doing with your time. Then you'll know whether you truly have true love. And the joy, is the faith that you have, does it produce joy? Does it produce peace? Do you have joy and peace? Do you know that you're going to heaven? If you don't know, then you don't have true peace. You don't have true joy. How can you have joy if you're not sure that you're going to heaven? Think on these things. And then it's long-suffering and gentleness and goodness. That comes as you go on, as you know that you belong to God, you start gentling out because you want to tell those people, hey, Jesus loves you. You become gentle in your spirit and in your operating. How about faith? This is a good one. Faith. What does your faith produce? My faith produces joy and peace and a willingness to step out and do the work of God, knowing that God is for me. When I started this radio program and this internet program, it was by faith. God showed it to me. I stepped out in faith, and those that are with me and help to support it, they're stepping out in faith too. They're putting down their money so that we can bring this joy to you, this peace. That's true faith. Putting your money where your mouth is. Faith produces joy, peace, temperance. It'll produce meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness, you know your strength, but you have it, the strength that you have it under control. You know how to use it. Faith produces something else from the other side of the paradigm here. I'll show you something. The Bible teaches us that The demons have faith, and it produces also a fruit. What's that fruit? Fear and trembling. That's an incredible fruit. They truly believe that Jesus is real. They truly believe that Jesus is coming back. It produces fear and trembling in that. Like Jesus coming back should produce joy and peace in you, it produces fear and trembling in them. And I don't blame them. Hallelujah. God, give it to them. Let them clearly see what's going to happen to them. This brings to my mind, for those of you who don't believe in the rapture, it's interesting. It just happened to me once. I was ministering to this person, and there was a demon there. And I was casting out that demon, and that demon was starting to talk with me through the person's mouth. And I told that demon, "Do you know that Jesus loves the person that you're tormenting?" And the thing shook his head. Boo. Make funny types of noises to the person's mouth. And I told him again, "Do you know, at the rapture, which is going to be soon, every Christian is going to be rid of every demon there is in them." And the scream that came from that demon's mouth was earth-shattering. It's incredible. They have faith. They know what to believe in. And they're not shy about it if you point the finger at them. So, if for those of you who don't believe in the rapture, do you believe, are you looking for the Lord Jesus Christ, or are you looking for the Antichrist? That'll produce what? Fear. That's not a thing from God. That's what demons have. They have fear. So, faith produces something. Hallelujah. It'll produce either fear or it'll produce trembling. Before I was a Christian, I had faith in God. Incredible faith in God. I knew He was real. And I also had faith in the judgment of God. I didn't know how to become a Christian. Nobody ever told me. But I had faith in God, and I also had faith in the judgment of God. And it produced fear and trembling and agony in me. I want to save you from that agony and fear that I used to have until I was 27 years old. I want you to turn to this Jesus today. Get rid of the fear. Get rid of the anxiety and turn in joy and peace to this God. Hallelujah. God loves us. And He wants us to understand and know that. He is not somebody up there trying to keep secrets from us. He wants us to fully understand His true love for His creation. Listen to Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. Here's another interesting faith, fruit that the faith will bring. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." And that's what will happen when you have faith in God. But here is what will put you into a better position in living soberly and righteously and denying worldly lust. If you look for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, if you are looking for Jesus to come back today yet, you're going to live godly. You're going to live righteously. You're not going to go out and watch pornography if you know that Jesus is coming back today or you're expecting Him. No, your heart will change. Your outlook will change. You will be looking for this awesome and glorious God. And that produces joy and peace. This is why I love the subject of the rapture so much, because it produces joy and an anticipation that I'm going to be out of here soon. And these days, it better be sooner than later, because this world is so full of confusion, you want to cry. But at the same time, for those of you who are looking for the Antichrist. What is that producing in you? Is it producing joy? No, it's not. It's producing fear, and that is not of God. That is not a comfort. The Bible teaches us to comfort each other as we see the day approaching. What are we to comfort ourselves with? The glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it could happen momentarily, hallelujah. What is there anything better to look for? Let's stop fooling around with the silliness of maybe, if, or but. The Bible is clear. Jesus could come, and we need to be ready. Hallelujah. Listen to what the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 7. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. The Lord will give it to me, a crown of righteousness. And here is how you get a crown of righteousness. And not to me only, but also all them that love his appearing. Are you looking for Jesus to come back? Are you anticipating it? Is that deep within your heart a joy and a peace? You have already now received that crown of righteousness. It's waiting for you. The moment you step into the portals of glory, if you are looking for Jesus to come back, you already have that crown waiting right there. Hallelujah. For those of you Christians who are kind of afraid that Jesus is going to come back, we're not quite ready yet. We haven't done this. We haven't done that. I need to clean up first. Forget about that. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses you, that makes you righteous, that makes you holy, that makes you pure, and that seats you in heavenly places. Never mind you doing it yourself. Yes, I am for living for God, but don't try to improve on your salvation. It's impossible. Jesus made you, the blood of Jesus made you as pure as God himself is. That's what the Bible teaches us. That's what the Bible, it's maybe hard to believe, but this is what the word says, and this is what I chose to believe. That I'm as pure as God, not by what I'm doing. I kid you not by what I'm doing, but by what Jesus did for me. Hallelujah. What an awesome time to look forward to, seeing this great God that made me as clean as himself. I'm looking forward to that. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 16, in closing out, I want to show you here. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we know Christ after the flesh, now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I want to show you something here. We see Christ, many of us, many Christians, and the world sees Christ as a little baby in a manger that's seeing him in the flesh. We see him walking on this earth. We see him in the flesh. We see him on the cross. That's seeing him in the flesh. But for those of us who are born again, we see him more than in the flesh. We see him in the Spirit. He is our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who saved us. We see that in our spirit, and we rejoice in it. He is not only somebody that walked this earth. He has become our great God and Savior. We don't see him as a human being. We see him as an incredible Savior and Creator. That's seeing him in the Spirit. So should we see our fellow Christians, not the way we see them operating in the flesh, even though that's sometimes what we do in many cases. We should see them as a new creation, totally holy, totally pure, and that's how we should respect them and operate with them. I know that's a hard order, but we can look at this scripture and we can improve on ourselves on a daily basis, because this is what the Apostle Paul tells us. I see no one in the flesh anymore. I don't know what it takes to come to that place. I've tried. I've tried to look at my wife and see her as a pure, holy, and beautiful thing. But somehow that escapes my imaginations when I'm arguing with her. And that, you know what I mean, most of you who are married. But God says, love them, see them no more as in the flesh, but in the spirit, as pure, holy, and somebody that you should respect. Same for the woman to the man. Somebody who is a Christ-like thing, a new creation made so by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what God wants us to see. The faith that you have, what does it produce? Does it produce meekness, kindness, goodness? Does it produce joy? Does it produce peace? Or does it produce trembling? If it produces trembling, the idea that Jesus could come back today, does that produce trembling or joy? If it produces trembling, I'm asking you today, come to Jesus. The Lord is willing that none perish. Turn to him, for he that comes to me, he says, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus loves us to the point that it doesn't even reach our imagination. We cannot even imagine it. The Bible tells us our parents love us, but that doesn't come close to how God loves us. So if you know that Jesus loves you, if you can read it in the Bible, if you know that he wants you into heaven, what keeps you from taking what he has to offer? Yes, there are many who believe in salvation, but they fail to take it for themselves. A pardon is no good that is offered to you unless you take it. And Jesus offers that pardon today to all of you who are listening and to all the world. He said, willing that none perish. That means the world. For God so loved the world. It doesn't say for God so loved the church, even though he loves it immensely. But he loves the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, that turning to him and accepting him, will not perish but have everlasting life. What a deal. What an offer. I went for it when I first heard it. I went for it completely. There was no hesitation. I went for it, and I'm telling you, I'm still rejoicing and even rejoicing more in the choice that I made so long ago. So open your heart to these things. Become a joy to yourself. Receive him, and you will become a new creation. You will receive the crown of righteousness, and you will enter into the kingdom of God. Let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen.
I guess we should pity the man in this world who must use the earth for a bed. And I guess we should pity the man who must toil from dawn till dusk for his bread. But these can be rich if they have contentment, sharing God's salvation plan. But if you
And I guess there are those who pity the saved, as though we were missing life's best. Oh, they're forgetting that treasures of earth pass away, and heaven